You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three. Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. Becomes infectious.
And across the lane. Baker launches it. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. the Sultan of Summer League, a.k.a. Frank Ntilikina. And this is episode 318. On today's show, I want to give you guys my summer league preview. What is it? When is it? Who's participating? What can you expect? I'm going to rank the players participating in the Knicks summer league according to interest level and so much more. It's a fun one. I'm coming to you live from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Am I ashamed of it? Yeah. A little bit, but when your girlfriend has a family summer home on Cape Cod, you go up sometimes. It is what it is. I gotta own my priv. I gotta own this just disgusting thing that I'm doing, spending time in a Massachusetts beach community. I mean, I'm amongst the enemy, people. It's getting dicey out here, but I'm wearing my Knicks hat. I'm letting people know what's up. I'm trying to represent you guys the best that I can. All right, let's start the show. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
Summer League. Let's talk about it. When is it? The Summer League Knicks have three scheduled games. Saturday, July 7th. That's a late afternoon start at 5:30. They're playing the Hawks. Most interesting player on the Hawks by far in their Summer League squad is Trae Young. You guys know I loved him. If you know, I loved him coming into the draft, and you've been looking to see how he's performed so far. His first game was terrible. He shot 1 for 12 from 3. Anyone who says that it's over for Trae Young, though, is a bozo. It's one summer league game. Did he assuage concerns about how he'd fare against NBA competition? No, but it means nothing, and I'm not going to spend any more time defending one stupid bad summer league game from Trae Young. But first up, the Knicks will play against the Hawks and Trae Young. Will be interesting to see if Frank Ntilikina just swallows him whole and then burps him out like Kirby. That's a old school Nintendo game for all you youngins who may not be aware of who Kirby is. Although you're probably familiar with Super Smash Brothers. Kirby wasn't that. That might be even super washed. I might be really showing my age here. Do kids these days know what Super Smash Bros. Is? Tough to say. That's the first Knicks scheduled game against Atlanta. Sunday, so back-to-back games here, July 8th at 9 p.m., they play the Jazz. There's no Donovan Mitchell on this roster. I don't care about anyone else. Who cares? The Jazz, whatever. Then on Tuesday, the final Knicks scheduled game, that's July 10th, is at 8:30 p.m. That's against the Summer League Lakers, and they got no one, really. Xavier Wraith and Mays, once a Knick. Always a Knick, or Ratan Mays, I believe it's pronounced, excuse me. And their first-round pick, Moritz Wagner, out of Michigan. Originally out of Germany, I believe. I don't know. Who cares, right? Who cares, really? We're talking about the Knicks here. So three scheduled Summer League games. This Saturday, this Sunday, then this upcoming Tuesday. Then there's a tournament. Each team will play at least five games, so you'll play at least two tournament games. It's a little bit round-robin-y, and you can play up to eight if you make it to the championship game, which is on July 17th. All right, so those are the very basic facts about the Summer League. I found an interesting article about the Summer League. This came from Dwight Janes of NBC Sports Northwest. Apologies if I said your last name wrong there, Dwight, but I'm doing the best I can out here. Don't judge me. According to Dwight Janes, or Janus, who knows? No one really knows for sure, not even Dwight. Some of the teams participating in this Vegas Summer League, that's where the Knicks are this year, they're not in Orlando. Some teams don't like the tournament games. They just want to play five games, and that's it, right? Part of the tournament and the schedule means that there are back-to-back games, and teams do not like playing in back-to-back games ever, as you may have heard in the NBA schedule, but also in Summer League because they want practice time in between to talk to their players about what happened, to give them some new stuff. And if that's what teams want, then it's dumb to have back-to-backs. I don't really understand what the NBA is doing here. Not the biggest issue, not the most pressing issue in modern basketball, but while we're talking about Summer League, I thought that was an interesting fact and a little bit strange. The entire purpose of Summer League is to develop talent and to evaluate talent. And when you think about it, it is a little weird that they tack on a tournament. I like tournaments, so at first I didn't really think much of it. You know, I like competition. That's a part of why I enjoy the game of basketball, right? But then when you talk about what Summer League is, it's to bring in all these young guys, see if anyone has potential that you might want to develop the guys that you know are going to play big roles on your team later on who are very young and unseasoned, right? So why do they do this tournament? But apparently it has something to do with an agent who runs the tournament. His name is Warren Legari. Again, apologies if I'm spelling your name wrong, Warren. And Warren Legari represents a good portion of the league's GMs, of their coaches and assistant coaches. And apparently this guy wants to put butts in the seats. So my question to the NBA is, why is some random Don King wannabe running something, in this case the Las Vegas Summer League, that has NBA players playing NBA basketball? Shouldn't it be the NBA who has total control over this? Why do I even know who this guy's name is, what his name is? I don't understand that. Is it him who owns the gyms or something? If that's the case, just host the thing somewhere else. I mean, why are we at the mercy of Warren Legari? I don't get it. It's a little strange. Anyway, not a huge deal, I guess, but it is something stupid that the NBA should take a look at. I know they're not control freaks in a good way when it comes to, let's say, sharing media online and making their stats open and available to the public in a very detailed, you know, very useful way for people who want to dig deeper into what's going on there. But I think they could tighten it up a little bit with the Warren Legaris of the world who have some say in what's going on in a period that should be used, you know, for work, for NBA teams, and not as this product to put as many butts in the seats as possible. That's the way I look at it. Anyway, I want to talk to you guys now about who is playing for the Knicks in NBA Summer League and explain what you can expect out of them. And I want to explain this. I want to group these people according to who is the most interesting, who I'm most looking forward to watching during Summer League. But before I do that, just want to remind y'all that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So we're going to talk about Summer League players for the New York Knicks, our beloved New York Knicks. I want to start out with a group I like to call the Extremely Unbelievably Enticing Division. The Extremely Unbelievably Enticing Division. And I'm going to start the guy I'm most interested in seeing in Summer League. May come as a slight surprise to you guys, but it's Mitchell Robinson, their second round draft pick, 36th overall, the 7-foot center who is 20 years old, who did not play in high school but had top 10 potential. Who is this guy? Who is Mitchell Robinson? He has so much potential. He has so much mystery. Like, he could legitimately roll up to Summer League and look like a future Hall of Fame talent. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it's possible. Probably not going to happen since he hasn't played an organized game in over a year, but it's possible. He was a top 10 talent in terms of a recruit coming into what would have been his freshman year in college. And sometimes talents like that show up looking unstoppable. So even just for like the sliver of hope of what this guy could be, I'm so excited to see him play. Just a freakish athlete. You know, what is he? Who is he? There's so much mystery, so much potential. That to me is really exciting. He has not played in a game since April 2017 when he scored 15 points and hit all 7 of his shots in the Jordan Brand Classic against other top recruits, seniors in high school. So a lot of people in the basketball world are very excited to see what Mitchell Robinson is going to do after his year off. Now, to talk about him a little bit more, There was an excellent piece in The Athletic. Really great by Mike Vorkunov. He's doing great work over there. If you have a couple extra bucks, I think it's worth it for his coverage alone at The Athletic. But he had some great stuff in this piece about Mitchell Robinson. I kind of want to keep talking about him and why I'm so excited to see him in Summer League based on some of the things I read in Mike's piece. So the first was a quote from David Fizdale. Athletically, he's a freak. He's in the one percentile of high flyers and runners. It's just not many guys that's that athletic. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy with all this upside who is a freak athlete. How could you not be excited to watch a freak athlete run wild and free in one of these glorified pickup games where basically no one's playing defense? I'm pumped, right? Now, according to Butch Stockton, who was his high school coach at, I don't know how to say it, Chalmette, Louisiana. You can yell at me on Twitter at LockedOnNicks if I got that wrong. I'm sure I did. I'm going to set a record for mispronunciations in this podcast episode. So apologies to everyone whose names I mangle. But Butch Stockton, that's an A-plus sports name. Butch Stockton, his high school coach, told Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic that during Mitchell Robinson's senior year in high school, he took about 153 pointers, hitting them at a 38% rate. So that's something else to look out for. Is this 7-foot athletic freak top 1% in athletic ability, according to David Fizdale? Is he going to be bombing threes? Is he going to be hitting threes? Can he hit from three-point range? What does his form look like after working with a trainer for the past year instead of playing organized basketball? Very interesting. Okay. Now, Marcel Scott, his trainer, he's the guy who he's been working with this past year. He gave Mitchell Robinson the same workouts that he used with Anthony Davis, who's actually another client of his. And he was training Mitchell Robinson like a guard, interestingly enough. And then he had Anthony Davis working together with him. So he's been doing workouts with Mitchell Robinson. Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the NBA. I'm sure you know that. To approximate the length that Mitchell Robinson would face in the NBA, he's been guarded by Anthony Davis in this workout. He's been blocking Mitchell. Anthony Davis has been blocking Mitchell Robinson's shots like an Anthony Davis would. He's a shot-blocking freak, right? He's been making him use pump fakes and dribble pull-ups, so that's very interesting. How's he going to look after using some of the drills that Anthony Davis, one of the best freakish original unicorns in the game, has been doing during his career with this same trainer, Marcel Scott, right? Kerry Kittles, former Net, former pretty good player with the Nets, is good friends with Mitchell Robinson and Anthony Davis's trainer, this guy Marcel Scott. And he said that Robinson can shoot. He said, that kid can shoot. Is he a driller right now? No. He hasn't played ball in forever. I'm sure if he can get the reps in, I think folks will be surprised. Some more reason to get pumped. He's not a driller right now, which is a technical term, right? But Kerry Kittles, someone who was a very good shooter in his own right, says this kid can shoot. Here's something that's very interesting. We talk about player development. It's been a huge theme of this past season of, you know, first Michelle Obama's brother, who they brought in. I think his name was Craig Robinson, to head the player development department. David Fizdale is supposedly huge on player development, player relationships. He said he brought in a staff that's all player development guys. So what does this mean? You know, are we going to start to see less platitudes about just like having a, you know, program that's top of the line? Are we going to start to see some detail? And we're starting to see some detail in their approach in this piece, specifically from Mike Vorkunov. He says the Knicks have begun their own approach to Mitchell Robinson's development, narrowing his game and focusing on what he does well so far. Fizdale says his strengths for now are running and jumping, freak athlete, so he wants him to excel at that first to ensure he has a skill set he can go to use in the NBA. Now here's the quote from Fizdale on this. I want to encourage him to be great at what he's good at right now. Can we just get him a game? His game right now is running and jumping. So anything that has to do with that, how good can I make him at that first? Yeah, we're going to be working on jump hooks, post-up game. We're going to always build that kind of incrementally. But how can we get him a confidence that I can go play in the NBA game right now because I can hang my hat on this? Right now, it's his athleticism, getting him to run the floor every time, getting him to screen at the right angle and to get to the rim with speed every single time, getting him to be in a stance on every pick and roll, being able to switch on that pick and roll and protect the rim. Those little areas, we can make him great at that. He is a fun project, I'll tell you that. So I love, you know, these are just words, but they hint at a active and intelligent mind behind the words that knows what it's doing. I love the fact that they want to get him confidence first and to really establish what he is good at and get him feeling very confident in that. I think that's good for any player to know that you can kick ass at a couple things. I think someone like Mitchell Robinson, who seems a little shy, seems a little awkward, who knows how that translates on the court, because that's not always the same thing, how you are with the press and how you are on the court. But he has the makings of someone who could need a little bit of confidence, not having played, you know, competitive games for a little over a year. So him in particular, but any player in general, I think this is a great approach. I like that there's some specificity of the things that he is going to do in terms of getting his angle right on setting screens, running hard to the rim on pick and rolls. And then he mentions the other side of the ball, defense, getting him in the proper stance, getting him able to switch on the pick and roll, and then protecting the rim. Both things that he's going to be asked to do a lot. Both things that he could be good at right off the bat. Obviously, it's difficult to learn a team defensive scheme, but you know, the more you can get him comfortable switching and then certainly protecting the rim, something that he was incredible at against high school players, you know, which is obviously a whole different world. But I don't want to belabor this point too much, but I like what we hear there about the specifics of how they plan to develop a young, very promising player. So Mitchell Robinson, number one guy I'm looking forward to seeing, mostly because of the mystery. It's that combination of the mystery and the potential, right? But he just edges out, and I mean just edges out by the thinnest of margins, Kevin Knox, our first round pick. Our first round pick and a blue chipper, potentially, right? He's in that range, number 9 overall. So I'm very curious to see Kevin Knox. He allegedly improved a lot after his season ended and leading up to the draft. So I'm curious to see that improvement, how different he looks from the tape that I've seen of him in college. I am curious to see if he's kept improving. You know, there's been a little bit of time now, a couple weeks. Maybe he's an all-pro now, right, in those couple of weeks. But where is he at? How much better is he actually than he was when the college season ended? Will we see some of these secret skills that these Kentucky guys all seem to have and that he says he has? He says he has more ball handling skills, more creation skills. Let's see. Can he be a little bit more of a playmaker? Can he run some pick and rolls? Can he be the ball handler in a pick and roll? I'm really excited to see what kind of game that he flashes when he's, you know, being asked to be, you know, more aggressive, and when he's saying himself that he has more ability than he's shown so far. I'm curious to see, is he going to whoop some guys' asses like he whooped Miles Bridges' ass, apparently, in that workout, allegedly. I didn't see it. These are the reports, right? He reportedly, enthusiastically wanted these workouts to be group workouts because he wanted to go at these guys and whoop their ass a little bit. Will he have that killer tude? This is interesting because it's in contrast to what we saw at Kentucky, where he sometimes lacked that motor, right? He sometimes kind of drifted in and out of really being super aggressive. Maybe part of that was how many screens they had him run off of. You know, it's difficult to ascertain exactly what was going on there, but very excited to see our first round pick. I don't think much more needs to be said, but how much has he improved? Has he seen these? Does he have some of these skills that we didn't get to see at Kentucky, which so often happens with these Kentucky guys, like a Karl Anthony Towns comes top of mind as someone who showed a lot more in the NBA than they did in college. So Kevin Knox, really looking forward to seeing that. And the final guy in my, what am I calling this? Extremely, excitingly enticing division, something like that, right? Is Frank Ntilikina. Our beautiful, sweet baby Frank is going to be playing. Looks like he's bulked up, right? How much stronger does he look? How tall is he? Is he 7'4"? Who knows? He's never going to stop growing. I can't wait to see how tall he looks against this competition. How will his handle look? We know he's needed to work on that. We've seen that he does work on that in some workout videos. Shouts to Drew Steele, Scooter Toots on Twitter, who just loves when these players show their workout videos online. And we've seen Frank Ntilikina do some dribbling drills online. So how does that look? That was something he really needed to work on, right? I'm curious about that. How does his shooting look? I think his form looked great last year. The numbers weren't all the way there. He had some pretty good months, some pretty bad months. How does that look? Is the shot looking good? Is it falling more often? Perhaps the biggest key to a Frank Ntilikina that we've talked about, will he be more aggressive this year? He needed to attack last year, and he didn't do as much attacking as he should have, right? There are reports of Fizdale watching practice film with Frank Ntilikina and showing him where he could have attacked the paint, but did not. Could have attacked a mismatch, but did not. Had some open space in front of him in transition, but did not attack. Hopefully, this doesn't mean that he's just not attacking at all. But I like hearing that Fizdale is sitting with these guys after practices, going over film, going over the things that we've identified, you know, because we are experts here, that we've identified that Frank needs to look at. The Knicks know that he needs to look at that. They're working on it with him. So it'll be very interesting to see how much more aggressive he is in the summer league, right? And reminder, I just want to remind you guys, he's still 19, Frank Ntilikina. He's almost 20. He turns 20 on July 28th, but he's still very young. So do not expect what we see this year to be his final form, but do expect improvement, right? I think he can improve a lot. He's not going to all of a sudden be the best he'll ever be. He's still very young, but you're looking for incremental improvement, signs that he is developing, okay? So I'm just incredibly pumped for year two of Frank, and I'm looking forward to watching him in summer league. I'm looking forward to, we didn't even talk about this because it's a given, but I'm looking forward to seeing him shutting down some scrubs and some high draft picks like a Trae Young. You know, I loved him as a prospect, but now I hate him because he's the enemy. Same with Luka Doncic. Sorry, Luka, you are now my enemy. Just the way it is. No hard feelings. It's sports, you know? It's a way for us to exercise our basest, tribalist instincts and to get that kind of war thing out of our bloodstream in a healthy way. In a way that makes you healthy. Maybe not if you're sitting there drinking, eating chicken wings and hamburgers and stuff like that. But ideally, you participate occasionally and you get some of those health benefits that you see your favorite athletes reaping with every practice and every game, right? I want to talk to you guys about my next group of summer league players. Players that have a real chance at a Knicks future, but aren't necessarily guaranteed one. Okay? Before we do that, just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Once again, that's Locked On Knicks. So let's talk about Alonzo Trier. 6'5", 22 years old, guard, undrafted free agent, signee out of Arizona, who just signed a two-way deal with the Knicks. That means he can spend 45 days with the big club during the G League season. Otherwise, he's got to spend time in the G League. Once the G League season is over in early April, then he can spend as much time with the big club as the big club deems necessary, right? So he's going to play a lot. One way or the other, either in the G League or for the big league club this season. Alonzo Trier, right? Now, he's got an interesting past. We haven't talked too much about him. Per Berman of the Post, although this has been reported a couple different places, but that's where I was reading it. So, chefs to you, Berman. I'll give you credit for this. Alonzo Trier failed 2 PED, that's performance-enhancing drug tests, so like steroid-type things, for the drug Osterine, which has been banned because it can act in a similar way to anabolic steroids. He failed the test his sophomore year, then again his junior year. However, a judge lifted his suspension his junior year. That was his past season, his final season. He played 3 years in college. They determined that the small trace of this drug, Osterine, was a remnant of his original ingestion. And apparently it's a fat-soluble drug, so it stays in your body for a long time. And they woke Alonzo Trier up at 5 in the morning. He took his first P of the day for the drug test, and that apparently lends itself to these things that are stored in your fat cells more readily appearing in a urine sample. Now, Trier is on record saying he would have declared for the draft after his sophomore season if not for this 18-game suspension he got for taking this drug. He says he was in a very bad car accident the summer of his sophomore year, and he was on strong painkillers and took a health drink that a relative had prepared for him, unaware that a banned ingredient was in the recipe. there's more to this story. You know, I'm not going to say I know what happened. I'm not going to judge him if he did take a performance-enhancing drug. I don't really know. I'm not a doctor. You know, I believe there are safe ways to take these things. I'm not going to recommend that young people trying to make it do it. I think people do things for a lot of different reasons. I'm not going to kill a guy for taking PEDs if he did do it. He's trying to live out his dream. I don't, people resort to extreme things. It's not like he was out there. He didn't get caught, you know, doing coke in the middle of a Walmart. That would be bad, right? Something like that. He was trying to enhance his game. Did he cheat a little? I don't know. You really can't. I don't know if I could take him at his word. I don't know the guy. But you know, so it is what it is. I don't feel like it's a big concern. I don't think he's going to keep taking PEDs if he was taking them knowingly, in the NBA. That kind of thing just like doesn't happen. I'm not too worried about it other than Joakim Noah. You know what I mean? Man, what a great signing that was. But, so that's that. Just wanted to let you guys know about this part of him because it's a big part of, you know, his history. You're going to come across it, right? He says about his game, I feel like I can space the floor, knock down shots. I think I'm very good with the ball in my hand, creating for myself, creating for others. I know I can be a shot maker. I just know I'm a guy who can fit in. I fit in with the way the game is being played today. So one of the things that he's supposed to be best at, the thing that you're really looking for this summer league is his shooting, okay? His junior year, he shot 38% from downtown on 5.6 attempts per game in 33 games total. That's good volume, so that's a good number, okay? In his suspension-shortened sophomore season 2 years ago, he shot 39% on just under 5 attempts per game in only 13 games because of the suspension. From the free throw line, something that we know helps let us know that someone has a good shot or not when you're trying to figure out what their three-point shot is coming out of college, he shot 81% from the charity stripe his sophomore year and 86% from his junior year. So the numbers show that he has a chance to be an excellent three-point shooter. Be interesting to see how he does there. He mentions his playmaking, his shot creation. So I'll be interested to see kind of what kind of handle he's got and his assists. I'm looking to see what kind of a distributor he can be as a secondary, you know, distributor. He's not a point guard, even though we're playing positionless basketball, but that's not necessarily his strength. However, his assists did go up year over year. Freshman year, 1.1 assists per game. Sophomore year, 2.7 assists per game. And junior year, his final year, 3.2 assists per game, which for a two guard, not bad, right? If you want to normalize a little bit, because there are fluctuations in minutes played per game, you can look at his per 40 stats, per 40 minutes. 1.6 assists per 40 minutes his freshman year. 3.3 assists per 40 minutes his sophomore year. And 3.8 assists per 40 minutes his junior year. So assists did trend up. It'll be interesting to see how he looks as a playmaker. Damian Dotson, you guys remember him, second round pick from last year. I think he could still be a very good player. I think he's a strong defender. Something to look at this summer league will be his shooting. You know, how has that developed? I thought he had a good looking stroke last year. The numbers weren't there. How does it look? Troy Williams, we signed him toward the end of last season. 6'7", 23 years old, still plenty of upside. How does his shot look? Right? How does he look defensively? We know he's an athletic freak. We know he's going to unleash thunderous, you know, apocalyptic dunks. We know he's going to run in transition. He's going to finish fantastically around the rim. But how do the other things look? How does that three-point shot look? That's going to be huge for him if he can stick in the NBA. And how does his defense look? Right? Luke Kornet, Knicks signed him to another one-year deal. We talked about that in the last episode. Similarly, how does his defense look? Right? How does his three-point shot look? He was up and down there game to game last season. Can he start knocking down the three-ball consistently? You're also going to see his rim protection. And we want to see how kind of switchy he is on defense. He showed flashes of okay one-on-one defense when switched onto a smaller player. Can he improve there? Is he going to be a defensive sieve? We shall see. That's it for the Knicks, who have a real chance at a future with the Knicks, right? Then you've got the next category, signed to a two-way contract this year, but I don't see it, but maybe he could be improving? Then that's Isaiah Hicks. You guys know I'm not his biggest fan, but hey, maybe he shows a lot more. He showed really nothing. I'm not trying to be mean, but he didn't really show anything at the pro level last year. He was a cog in the G League team and was successful down there, but when it came up, didn't really do much. What does he look like? Maybe he'll surprise me, but who knows, right? And then the final category is guys I haven't heard of, to be honest. We've got Michael Binje. Ah, man, I should have figured out how to pronounce. I'm really setting the record, this one, for pronouncing these names wrong. G-B-I-N-I-G-E. Binje, that's what I'm saying. He's a 6'7" guard. He's 26 years old, okay? Billy Garrett, he's a combo forward, 6'6", 23 years old. Tyrius Walker, he's a guard, 6'1", 22 years old. Paul Watson, he's a 6'8" forward, 23 years old. Tony Taylor, he's a 6'1" guard, 27 years old, all right? Daniel Ochefu, 6'10" forward, 24 years old. Jawan Howard Jr., I'm familiar with his dad. Jr. is 6'6", and he's 26 years old. Justin Harper, forward, 6'10", 28 years old. I'm not going to waste your guys' time with a detailed breakdown. Those guys, you can find some sort of G League podcast if you want that. We're concerned with NBA players here. So to end the podcast on a note of being such an asshole. But yeah, that's it. Summer League, really fun. So many guys. I look forward to watching this year. A much more loaded Summer League team than usual. We're getting our first taste again of a little bit. I'm not going to call this NBA basketball, but quasi-NBA basketball. And for Knicks fans, you got a lot to look forward to this year's Summer League. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Knicks. If you've got a moment, rate us on iTunes, subscribe to the show. If you have not already, tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. If you have not already, tell your local Cape Cod bodyguard about Locked On Knicks. If you have not already, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks, where the conversation keeps going. Bonus takes, general camaraderie, good conversations. You can follow me personally at NBA Injury Report. That's lots of jokes about the NBA. I think you'll enjoy it. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Always salt the pasta water. And take that, take that, take that data. Peace.